Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We are continuing with our conversation to really unpack the different dynamics that are influencing the global economy, the US economy, its influence on us as an emerging market, and what to make sense of and how to make sense of not only the trade relations we have with our international peers, but even the market calamity that's taking place at the moment. Looking at headlines, CNBC on my screen, they mentioned that the stocks, US stocks in particular, that have been making the biggest move today are the likes of Tesla, Dollar Tree, Apple. And bear in mind, these are all largely technology stocks, so that have a technology background and largely very reliant on markets like China. Why? Because China actually manufactures much of the electronic goods that they make. So that in itself, on the back of Donald Trump telling China that, hey, if they continue with their retaliatory tariffs, he'll continue to increase and slap another 50% of tariffs on China by tomorrow if they don't remove their retaliatory duties. So that is leading to a further calamity. And looking at the screen right now, it's not looking pretty, especially in the U.S. But one person who knows, again, about the importance of our relationship with the U.S. as a trade partner, the influence that that has on our agricultural sector, but overall, when it comes to our trade relations with an economy like the U.S., is Wandile Sihlobo, chief economist of the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa, AgBiz. Wandile, such a pleasure to speak to you again, sir.
It's good to speak with you. Thank you so very much for having me on the show.
Always excited to speak to you. And I know that you've been very busy speaking to many of my peers. I saw you on CNBC Africa today speaking to my good friend, Fee. I thought to myself, you are dropping some gems that we need to hear on Kaya Biz. So maybe let's just start as a build-up and a follow-up to our conversation we just had with Merrill a moment ago of Old Mutual Investments. Is a clear understanding of, I guess, your response and view of the tariffs, the impact that it might have on South Africa's economy, especially as an agricultural sector. And perhaps we can interlink AGOA to that too. How bad is the scenario?
I think here, perhaps maybe one can answer this point in two ways.
Yeah.
One being that the South Africa graduating out of AGOA, the studies that Israel was citing, all of those were assuming that we would be out of AGOA and therefore we will be exposed to the most favored nations tariffs. The U.S. most favored nation tariffs before all of this last week's tariff were around about 3%. So the assumption was that this would be small, this would be a small impact to the South African economy and all of that. But the reality is that then now the U.S. has changed the view. So much of the studies that were done before last week's tariffs, they somewhat need a bit of a revision about what the impact then would be. In the South African case, I think if you're looking at us you were assuming that we would get tariffs that are around about 10% like everyone else in the world, I would say at that point, we would still have our industries being relatively competitive because ultimately it's a U.S. consumer that is paying these tariffs, not the other way around as their president is saying. But then with South Africa now finding itself whereby we have a tariff rate of about 31%. And the key question, which transitions me then to my second point, is that it's not quite clear what the level of tariff will be applied on what. We know about those that are in the auto that they may get something around about 25%. But now when you go to broader agriculture and the other manufactured products, the key question is whether we are getting somewhere between 10 to 31% or we will be slapped with a 31% tariff. We don't know what the detail of that. And I think once the U.S. authorities release a clear tariff book, which have then a somewhat clear indication of a tariff product by product, only then we'll be able to get a better understanding and gauge what this will mean.
Mm-hmm. Last week, we did touch base with the leader organization in South Africa and even spoke to a few key players within the minerals industry. What's quite clear is that in certain aspects of our minerals, there's been some exemptions, the platinum group metals, so gold, chrome, and a few others mentioned. The citrus growers were very clear on the fact that we do need to be tactical about this as South Africans and diplomatic. So I'm keen to understand your thoughts on, yes, we are waiting for a lot more detail, but help us contextualize the agricultural trade relationship that we have with the U.S. and just how important it is.
I think at a broad level, Cooks, the U.S. is very important, and it's easy to underestimate it when you're looking at the overall trade, because The South African agricultural sector exports about $13.7 billion a year to the world market. And if you ask the question then of where do these products go to, you realize that the biggest trading partner is still, of course, the African continent, particularly SADC. Almost half of our products go there. And then you have about 19% to the EU, 21% Asia and the Middle East. The US itself is about 4% of our agricultural products. That in value terms, monetary terms, you'll find that it's about just under $500 million. But then the challenge with that 4% is that it is concentrated in a few industries. The one that you mentioned that you spoke with their leaders last week, citrus industry, is the biggest of those agricultural industries in terms of the exports to the US, followed, of course, by the wine industry, grapes, nuts, and fruit juices are some of those. Now, with these tariffs then that we are facing, our competitors in markets are the likes of Brazil, Australia, and of course, Chile. And all of those, if you look at them, they are facing a tariff rate of about 10%. Mm-hmm. If we were then to go with the 31% and they are going at 10%, absolutely, we will not be This then also comes at a very critical time for South Africa, because in about 2 to 3 weeks' time, the growers that are primarily in the Western Cape, they have to start picking fruit for exports to the US. And there's a perishability and a time sensitivity a matter in there, which is why I think the points that the citrus growers are making, that we need to be tactical and try to find a path about how do we go forward with the US in here. And I think that point is not lost in the minds of the South African political leadership. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's this important speech that was given by Minister Ronald Lamola last week. And I think it was a very, very good speech, especially the 2 points that he makes in his speech, that look, in the near term, we want to retain trade with the US. Let's explore whatever that is possible. If we should get tariff quotas, whatever deals for the near term, we need to settle that. And then he moves on, he makes a second point where he says, look, for medium term and long term, export diversification is something that we have to do. Yes. And I think in both of those points, Ronald was raising an important aspect about how we move forward from where we are.
Got you. What's also important for us to keep in mind is that, as you mentioned, export diversification is critical. The world is big, and this just might give us an opportunity to seek new markets, forge new trade agreements with key partners across the globe. So far, we know that China is a critical market for us, and our trade relations with them have grown significantly in the last few years. But where are there other opportunities for us to potentially harness and tighten during this particular period of volatility?
I think, again, I would underscore 2 points here to say the diversification of the exports is an important aspect, but it is a medium-term and long-term aspect. Because, I mean, on average, when you are negotiating a free trade agreement with any country, you're probably going for a period of between 3 to 5 years, especially in agriculture, in order to get through all of the phytosanitary issues after that and start to see the product flowing in another country. That being said, the Middle East, the Gulf countries are very interesting to us. Saudi Arabia, Qatar, UAE are some of the countries where we think for fruit and red meat and grains, we can still increase the exports to that. In Asia, I mean, Vietnam, China, as well as India are some of the important markets. I mean, China alone accounts for 11% of global agricultural imports. And with as well as India, thinking the expansion of the fruit exports, wine, red meat, as well as grain and oils. So that's what South Africa is looking at for medium term as well as long term. But I would stress as my second point to say, look, for the near term, we do need to figure out a way in the US. I mean, what we need for citrus, if I were to be frank, we need about 100,000 tons quota tariff-free or at 10%, which is if we can be able to get that, because those near-term things are necessary given that we are dealing with the perishables in the fresh produce. And in a 3 weeks' time, the fruit will be ready out of the Cape. And that was always destined for the U.S. Market. Then the medium-term things gets to be sequenced as the year progresses, because ultimately we cannot divert the product to new markets within the space of weeks.
So as things stand, that citrus will be harvested and then exported to the US. Does that mean automatically as it enters there, it's slapped with a 30% increase?
I mean, our very hope is that in about 2 weeks' time or so, we have a different outcome than what is happening now. I mean, I know from the work that we are doing at the Chamber that there's a lot of work that our colleagues at the Department of Agriculture, Trade and Industry and DERCO are engaged on in thinking about how do we formulate the engagement with the U.S. They will make a pronouncement when they are ready publicly about that, but they are working on these difficulties. So they are not sitting on the sideline. But we need to find out something for agriculture within the next 3 weeks.
Got you. What I'm also keen to get your thoughts on is perhaps if you can share your views on AGOA. A moment ago, we spoke to Meryl, who painted a worst-case scenario for us should it not go ahead. But what's your analysis in terms of AGOA and perhaps the risks that we need to bear in mind?
Our general thinking around AGOA, I mean, was always fairly now thinking that we will be in a graduation period. And I mean, I didn't want to have a fatalistic thinking around this because the reality is you will remember this. Around 2015-14, when we were negotiating again the renewal of AGOA, some of the key things that were raised at that time was that technically South Africa was on the upper middle income countries. So there was a sense that we already needed to graduate out of AGOA. But of course, whenever we enter into these things, we go with the SACU countries. So you can't necessarily detangle South Africa when you're thinking about negotiating any trade-related aspect on this. The key point that we wanted to graduate and get into a free trade agreement with the United States or preferential trade agreement so that we can protect certain industries we deem are sensitive in that. Some of the countries that have gone forward to that, I mean, you look at the example of Kenya, they started at that time to move forward. And if you look at them now, the U.S. has left them only with about 10% duties, yes. While in South Africa, we have this. So I think they were considering almost two aspects here. Yes, there is an arithmetic calculation that they were doing, which is unsound in our judgment. But I do think that also countries that had either geopolitical alignment with them or that had a free trade agreement or some path going, that they were treated slightly better than those that are not aligned in all of those aspects. So the idea, it's a long-winded answer, but the point is that South Africa has to graduate out of AGOA and figure out a way of a post-AGOA. And that points to that free trade agreement. Mm-hmm. The dilemma then that you have is how do you work around that countries that are you have to negotiate with as a customs union. And that's the key point then that we have to think about as South Africa. But there's an acceptance to go towards that role. The president himself has said so.
100%. What's been so refreshing about speaking many of the other guests we've heard from is that this really does give us an opportunity. We're at the precipice, really. It's renegotiating our trade relation and trade ties with our international peers. Putting your economist hat back on again, I'm keen to understand what the journey towards a favorable trade relation with the rest of our global peers looks like, and perhaps also linking that to GDP expectations, interest rates and inflation. We understand the short to medium term might come with a lot more discomfort than what we used to.
I mean, I what's going on in here? All I can tell you is that there's so many risks that are side, both on a growth side and one on the inflationary side. You will see many risks that are coming in here. But again, the major determinant of all of this, whether the U.S. make any adjustments on the points that they are saying or they are hell-bent going forward with these tariffs that they are in, then if that's the case, you have the downside risk across the board in these things.
100%. You're quite right. It's a tough one. I can imagine the kind of calls you've been on, the negotiations, the conversations. And I guess it will continue as long as we find a favorable outcome. But get some rest, Wandile. And hopefully this doesn't give you heart palpitations like it has been doing for us.
Thank you so very much. Have a good one.
Oh, always a pleasure speaking to you. And we appreciate you making time this evening, sir. That is Wandile Sihlobo, Chief Economist of the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa, also known as AgBiz.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.